Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Newcomers to Canada face a lot of challenges. And, you know, when we think about the challenge of just being a human being on this planet, navigating financial your financial affairs is a big one. Add to that all of the things that a newcomer has to figure out, both in that first few weeks, the first few months. It is a tremendous amount of work. And one of the big levers for them is jobs, is the income front. So we're going to focus this first conversation on the newcomer experience, the services that are available to support them. And we're doing that with Tony Cheltas, the CEO of Achieve, which is a leading charitable organization that delivers employment, newcomer, language, youth, women, and inclusion services in the Greater Toronto Area. Hello there, Tony.
Hey, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me and Achieve at the table.
It is our pleasure. We're going to talk about the barriers first. You know them well. You have over 100,000 clients. You work with 3,600 employees. You oversee a staff of 400. It is a massive undertaking. What are the top, two or three barriers that you see your clients dealing with when it comes to getting a handle on their money?
Well, I think you said it right off the top. We cannot underestimate the amount of change and challenge that these people face when they're walking in the door. It's one thing to enter a labor market. It's a whole other thing to start a brand new life, find a place to live, get your kids in school, establish yourself with a bank, figure out how the bus system works. You know, the list goes on and on and on, but fundamentally, the first thing our clients tend to need when they come to us and when they start here in Canada, they need a job.
Yeah.
The reality is they've saved, but quite frankly, it's never enough. This day and age, it's hard for Canadians to make ends meet. Newcomers walk in, they may not even actually fully understand the dynamic that's at play in the market. And boy, do those dollars go incredibly quickly. And one of the biggest challenges that we're hearing from our clients, and we all know that housing is a challenge, but landlords are now asking newcomers who have no record, no credit record in Canada, no track record of renting in Canada, they're asking for upwards of 8 to 12 months rent front. I can't make that kind of out of the blue check. Let's say they're paying $2,500 a month and they want a year. That's $30,000 up front immediately off of money that they've saved to try and bridge them till they get that first job. And that job is getting harder and harder.
You've talked about newcomers literally arriving at Pearson Airport and going directly to your offices. I don't know how I would like walk into the office and not burst into tears, seeing them there all alight with both the opportunity of being in Canada and the daunting path that lies ahead. What is your offering on in terms of getting them set up with the basics of a bank account? Like, how does that part of it work?
A lot of what we do for our newcomers is information. We find that they arrive, a lot of them actually come having already made a decision on who to bank with. So they do some homework. They do a lot of homework. That's one of the things they put in place. But the next step of starting to establish a credit rating is a huge challenge. So getting a credit card, we help them understand how the banking system works. We give them the information they need to sort out, you know, where are their cultural centers? How can they find a community? How can they start to learn a language? How can they get documents attested so that they can get all the right paperwork in place? The paperwork is unbelievable. How do they actually get set up and get into our OHIP, our health system here in Ontario? It is remarkable what needs to be undertaken. So while they come with a bank, there is all the understanding of a system and how it works. Can I tell you a story?
Mm-hmm. Please.
A woman I was talking to several months ago had arrived. She had been here for less than a week. They were on an incredibly tight budget. It was a woman with a family. She had gone to a corner store. She identified what it was she needed. It was a basic thing like milk or something like that. Hugely tight budget. She went, she found out what it was. She made her decision. She looked at the price tag. She knew exactly how much she needed to pay. She got to the cash register and they told her she owed more. She didn't understand tax. Nobody had explained that to her. She was humiliated. She thought she was being scammed. She thought that she wasn't understanding. So the simple things we take for granted in running our day-to-day finances,
right,
they may not understand.
And we haven't even layered in the complexity of language in all that, because absolutely, so many of our newcomers arrive with, if not no English, then a very basic level of English or French. I want to ask you about credentialing, because literally 15 years ago, I hosted a workplace show. We did a whole series of stories on the infuriating reality that foreign trained professionals have such a hard time having their credentials recognized here. Where has there been progress on that in the last 15 years? Please tell me there has been progress on that in the last 15 years.
A little.
You're hesitating. You're hesitating. You just paused. A little.
I think
In what parts of the economy has there been progress? Please tell me it's the engineers or the healthcare sector. Where?
Yeah. So engineers, one of the biggest challenges that all newcomers face is this notion of Canadian experience. Mm-hmm. And that is the number one challenge that our clients talk about every day, whether they have foreign professional credentials or they're starting their career. So that's challenge one. And that happens even if they have a credential that they got in Canada. People still request Canadian experience. Governments have removed that now in Ontario for professionally trained international credentialed individuals. So that's come off, but the reality is employers are still looking for it. I think we continue to see sort of biting at the edges here. The colleges, the regulatory colleges, have a long way to go. Some of them are working. We saw huge pressure in nursing, and so they're stepping up and making changes. Engineers, you mentioned. The other various different professions are working at it. But the reality is the process, even if it's made available to them, is long. It's expensive. And what we're finding is that for those that are a little older, there is a tipping point in age. We are discovering that 45 years old tends to be the moment in time when people with professional credentials from other parts of the world are giving up. They're coming to Canada. They've tried, it's complex. They need jobs, so they get survival jobs. They're trying to do this on the side. They've got to pay fees, they've got to get equipment, and they just can't make it work, and they give up. Can I tell you another story?
Please.
Principal from the United Arab Emirates, who did extremely well, came to Canada, got licensed by the Ontario College of Teachers. No Canadian experience, no one would hire him to be a teacher. He went to an Ontario university and got a master's in education. Still no job. Got to that magic age of mid-40s. He gave up. He shifted gears.
Heartbreaking.
Went to college. He became a gas technician. And he's working for a gas company today.
So let's say people do successfully thread the needle. They go over, I'm going to mix all my metaphors here. They climb through all the hoops. They thread the needle. They do whatever. They're in the workplace. I was talking to a newcomer just yesterday, and she said, she's from Nigeria, but I don't understand the politics. So here she's got the job, and her concern now, she's been in Canada for a while, is that in the absence of lived experience in a Canadian culture, it's really hard to read the subtle cues of how organizations work here. What does Achieve do? What do other supports do to try and ease that transition for people who've somehow miraculously been able to land the job, but now they kind of want to be successful at it?
Bruce, you know, you've hit on such an important part of it. And even people who have not worked walk into their first job, and the culture, the DNA of a workforce can be complex. You add on different cultures, different languages, different shortcuts that we all build into getting stuff done. And it is a real challenge. So part of what organizations like Achieve do is to help people understand and how to adapt culturally, help them actually translate some of that short form. But that's where employers have work to do. I was talking to one of my board members who mentors newcomers, and he said to me that he had an issue with one of his mentees who was going to work for the first time, and she was hearing all of these slangs and short forms ASAP. She thought it was a credential. People were talking about, we got to get it done ASAP. You need to be more speedy. It's ASAP, ASAP. She came back and she said to him, what does this mean? And he said, okay, write down everything you don't understand for a week. 100 things. Well, I was blown away. 100 things she heard she didn't understand. And we have such slangs, we don't even realize it. So cultural adaptation is a big piece. Language is another piece. Becoming an inclusive workspace is so important. And you know what? It's not just important to newcomers. I want to talk for a second about the curb cut theory. So there is a theory out there that has informed a way of thinking that I think is really important to adopt. And that is, when they build sidewalks and roads, what do? They cut the curb at the place where you need to transition across a road to the other side. Why? It was done originally to make it easy for people in wheelchairs to pass safely from one side of the street to the other. But what have we done? We've actually made it easier for a lot of other people to do exactly the same thing. That person pushing a baby stroller, that individual carrying a buggy of groceries, somebody who's on crutches because they broke their leg, somebody who's just a little unstable on their feet. By doing something to level the playing field for one, you're making it easy for all. And it is so essential. And the other piece of this is, what's happened in a post-pandemic world where people are waking up and values matter? The new consumer in Canada, that's a millennial for the most part now. They're the lion's share of our population, certainly in the workforce. They want to do business with companies whose values and norms match theirs. That's your new consumer. So if you can't relate to them, and across Canada, we have become so diverse. So it is essential that employers actually start to look like and become a safe space for their clients. So there is a fiscal, a commercial imperative to creating an inclusive workforce where everyone belongs. And we all know the business case. There is a bottom line impact to getting that right.
There is the call to action, Tony. I'm sorry, we have to leave it there. I love your passion. I love the services that you provide. And I think that there is so much more for us to do, but with you at the helm, I think we'll just line up and do whatever you say. How's that?
That's great. Thanks, Bruce.
Let's do that. Thank you, Tony. Tony Cheltas is the CEO of Achieve.